We begin the current daf, Masechtas Gittin, daf Nun Beis. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnahs, in this parak and the previous parak regarding the halacha known as Tikkun Olam, where the Rabbanan institute certain halachas, so as that, as for the more macro, regarding the culture and the environment, that things should work out according to as they're necessary. So the Mishnah explains, Yisaymin Shesamchu Eitzel Bal Habayis. If there are orphans, that they're reliant on a certain homeowner, a certain individual. In other words, to do whatever he tells them to do. Now, as Rashi explains, this individual wasn't appointed to be what's known as Napatropos. Napatropos means to say someone that's the caretaker. He was appointed either by the courts or by the father before he passed away. This person wasn't appointed, but still, they treat him as the Apotropos. These are orphans. No one's taking care of them, and his friendly neighbor is helping them out. So regarding such an individual, or like the Mishnah says, someone that the father appointed him to be the caretaker. Either way, this individual is chayv la'asa periseim. Again, this is the tikkun olam. This individual has to tithe off their produce because here you have orphans. Someone has to take off their trumas and maestras so that it's not tevel. So this individual, either because he was appointed or because he was the one that just fell into the default apotropos, he's required to take off the maestra. Now the Mishnah tells us, and machlokes actually, that apotropos sheminu avi yisaimim, regarding a caretaker that was appointed by the father of these orphans before he passed away, so then the halacha is that when these orphans get older, when they become adults, then yishava, he has to swear to them, he has to take an oath that he didn't hold on to any of their properties, because here he is, he's busy with their money for many years. Could be he ended up taking from their money. So he has to take an oath when they become adults, that when they take over their estate, to say, I didn't hold on to anything. But minu bezin lo yeshava. But, says the Tanakhama, but if the courts had appointed, I mean, let's say the father died suddenly and they were young children and there was an estate left over. So the court stepped in and put someone, an overseer, a caretaker. So such a type of apotropos does not have to take an oath that he didn't hold on to any money. Whereas Abishalim, he argues in the Tanakhama and he says, Chilav Advarim, he actually says the exact opposite. And that is by the courts, he has to take an oath. And if the father made an apotropos, he does not have to take an oath. The Gemara will explain the reason of this machlekes according to either opinion. But again, according to either opinion, the concept is based on tikkun olam regarding having to make an oath or not have to make an oath. But just there's a difference of opinions regarding which one we feel should take the oath and which one is the one that shouldn't take the oath. Now the Gemara asks for a minu. The Gemara asks a seemingly contradiction from the first halacha of our Mishnah. And that is, the Braisa says, this is a pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches Chav Ches, that says, Kain terimu, so too you should take truma, gam also atem, also you, which is telling the Levim that they also have to take off truma, where although they don't have any of their own produce, but they have to take off what's known as trumas meiser, which is a tenth of their own meiser that they get. Now the Braisa learns a bedrasha when it says, atem, you have to take off, you take off your own trumas meiser, but v'loy shutfin. In other words, one partner cannot take off truma from his partner's portion without his knowledge. So to atem v'loy arisin, you and not your sharecroppers. In other words, the sharecropper himself cannot go ahead and take off the portion of the landowner's part. And that is, although the sharecropper gets 30%, 40%, whatever it is that he gets, the rest of it, that's part of the gross, he can't take off trumas amais. Again, the only individual that he's the owner, he has to take it off, atem, you and not all these other individuals. So too, atem v'loy apotropin, and this is where the contradiction is, the Braisa says that you have to, the owner, and not the caretaker. The caretaker does not take off trumas amaisers, and atem, you, v'loy hatorim esha'ena shaloy, not someone that takes off truma from what's not his. So Rashi has two interpretations. Either this last halacha, the Braisa, is actually giving the reason of the first halachas. In other words, atem that excludes all those cases is based on because you take off the trumas amaisis and not when you're taking off someone else's trumas amaisis, because all those cases are those which are not yours, because it's not your share, it's your partner's share, it's not yours, it's the balabayas, it's not yours, it's the people you're taking care of. Or Rashi says it's what's called zuva ein tzaruch le'mazu katani, meaning to say yes, meaning not only, and we definitely don't have to say that you can't take off truma what's not yours. Because at least in the first cases, there are some chedushim to them. And your partner, at least, you share something. Sharecropper, you work for him, apotropos, you're the apotropos. And for sure, I don't have to tell you that if it's totally not yours, you're unrelated, that you can't think of Trumas and Mises. That's the Braisa. So the contradiction is, one of the cases the Braisa mentions that you cannot take off Meiser is Apotropis. Yet our Mishnah said clearly that who takes off the Meiser for the assignment? It's Apotropis. So Amrav Chizdi says, Loikash, it's not a difficult, it's not a contradiction. Khan, our Mishnah that said Apotropis takes off the Meiser is Lahachel. Is when he's taking off Meiser from the produce that shouldn't be Tevel anymore so that he can give the Yisayim, the orphans, to eat right away. Then he has to take off Meiser. Khan Lahaniach. The Braisa that said that Apotropis does not take off Meiser was talking about when he's just taking it off to make it ready, to make it perfect, but to put it away in the storehouse until they get older. So on that, as Rashi explains, why should he take off Meiser? When they become adults, let them take off Meiser. So that's the resolution. That is, the Braisa is talking about a case when it's not necessary for them to consume it right now. Vatanya, and so too we learn in the Braisa that makes this division, and that's the two different cases of our Mishnah and the Braisa. The Braisa says, Habitropin, terminum asun. They take off the trumas, they take off the maestras of the produce of the orphans. Lahachal, beloy laniach. It's only if the orphan needs something to eat. Now they can't eat the produce because it's tevel. So the Habitropis, he's the one that's in charge, he takes off. But not if it's just to put away, if it's to put aside. So put it away in its tevel state. There's no need for you to do more than what you have to do if they don't need it right now. Now, the Braisa continues over there. Now, we introduced because of the contradiction, but then the Gemara continues at the Braisa, which has halachas related to this, of an apotropis. Umoichrin lohen, which Rashi says it means to say for them, meaning he could sell from the estate of the orphans, behema, avadim, mushvachis, animals, slaves, maidservants, batim, sadu, sukramim, he could sell houses, fields, and vineyards, lahachl, again, the same criterion. If it's for, they need money to purchase food, so by selling off these items, he has liquid cash now to go ahead and buy stuff for them to eat. Avaloy lanich, again, the same idea, but not just to sell, to have money to put aside, because A, the money might get stolen, and moreover, it's what's called shvach beis avien. There's the pride of the father's estate, which is, it's an honor and a glory for them. So why would you sell it off? Hold on to those fields. Hold on to those vineyards. Why are you selling it? Only you can sell it if they need money right now to eat. Braisa continues, U'maychon lehen peiros, yenis, shmonim, v'salosis, and they could sell for them fruits, wines, oil, flour. Lahachal avloy lanich, again, only if he's selling off their stuff for them to be able to eat, but not just to leave over for later time. Now, also, v'eisen lehen lulav, v'arava, v'sukkah, v'tzitzis, he could make for them, in other words, to spend their money to get a lulav, arava, sukkah, tzitzis, v'choldav, v'shesh lekitzvah, and anything that has a set amount of money attached to it, or a set amount of objects, lasuye shayfer, which that comes to include also a shayfer, which is just one shayfer that he could purchase for them if he needs for them to fulfill that mitzvah. Also, v'loichin lehem sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs, he could purchase for them a sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs. And again, anything he could purchase for them in regards to stam, meaning something that's written on the scroll, that has a set amount, lasuya megillah, again, that includes the megillah, where on Purim time you read the Megillah Esther, that has a set amount, those are the things he could purchase for them. But v'ein poiskim aleihem tzedakah, but he can't set off from their money charity, which has no set amount, because every single moment there are poor people that are coming around collecting, and you can end up liquidating their whole estate. So too, v'im poidim aleim as a shvuyin, you can't use their money to redeem captives. V'loy kol davar she'en lekitzvah, neither anything that has no set amount, which although it's a mitzvah, yes, and you could do mitzvahs for them with their money, but not if it has no set amount. Lasuya tanchum aveil, what does that come include when you say in anything that doesn't have a set amount? It's for the comforting of the mourners, which again, there's always people dying, and if you're going to use their money for tanchum aveilim, it's going to be liquidated in no time for things that have no kitzvah, have no set amount. You cannot use their money even for a mitzvah purpose. Now the Braisa continues and says, "V'ein apotropin rishoyin lodun." This apotropis, this caretaker, is not permitted to contend with a litigant of the orphans. For him, that this person's contesting on their estate, the caretaker is not allowed to step in lachub ulazakis to create liability or to merit for the orphans. B'nichsi yisaimim, in the estate of the orphans, because maybe he's going to lose and he's going to create a liability with it, with his claim. Therefore, we wait till the orphans become adults, and then they could contend with their own estate. Now, the Gemara wonders regarding Lizakos Amaylai. Why did the Braisa say that he can't contend with that individual to win, to merit? Why? If he does contend and he wins the court case, why wouldn't that be a din, which is a benefit for the orphans? So, rather, the Gemara explains what the Braisa was saying was, he's not allowed to contend lochov, which will create a liability, almanas lazakus, if his intention was to merit, benichsi yisayimim, in the estate of the orphans. In other words, if he was being done because he wanted to win, but he created a liability, then the orphans don't lose because of that. You're right, of course, if it's a schus, then we'll take a schus for the orphans, but if a liability comes out, then we consider it like it wasn't his right to contend. Bretzer continues, this apotropos is not permitted to just sell land which is far and to redeem, to then use that money to purchase land which is close, or berov, or even to sell off bad lands to then redeem it and purchase good lands. So ask the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Isn't he, that's better. He's getting rid of far lands, which is hard to take care of, and he's getting close, and he's getting rid of bad lands, and he's buying good lands. So the Gemara says, because maybe it's going to get wind blasted, it's going to get ruined, those new fields. So you don't get involved. Don't do things, even though it seems like good, because it actually might cause a loss. So to the Ena Petrupin Rishoyin Limker Sodis V'likach Avodim, he's not allowed to sell fields to purchase slaves with that money. Avol, but the Tanakhama says, Meichin Avodim Aloichim and Sodis. He's allowed to sell slaves to purchase with them land, because land is something that's permanent, it's always there. Slaves are going to die. So therefore, we would rather have something that's Lemechal Yekan, something that you can maintain so that you could sell the slaves to buy the fields. But Reb Shimon Gamliel, he argues, he says, no. Afloi Limker Avodim Aloichim and Sodis. No, you can't even sell slaves to buy fields, which the Gemara wonders, my time, what's the reason? So the Gemara says, because that's also not necessarily such a good move. Maybe, and this is coming from the word of Shefi, maybe it's not going to be such a smooth sale, so silent. In other words, maybe there's someone that's going to contest that field, and you're going to end up losing that money from purchasing the field. So don't even sell the slave to buy the field, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Price continues, the apotropos, according to the Tanakhama, is not allowed to free a slave. Now, as Rashi points out, what the Tanakhama is saying is, even if the orphans are not going to lose because of that, in other words, the slaves who want to be redeemed from this estate are coming with money. And how do they have money? Isn't it called Mashakon Ebed Kon Rabbi? Because it's talking about a case where other individuals who are friendly with these slaves gave them money on the condition that the orphans, who are their owners, don't have any rights in it, which they're allowed to. Still, says the Tanakhama, the apotropos is not allowed to free the slave. So even though they're willing to pay, so there's not going to be any loss, the reason being is because the body of the slave is not owned by the caretaker. All he does is take care. So he can take care of things and sell and buy, but he doesn't own the slave to free him. So therefore, he can't free him, even if the orphans are not losing, even though the guy would be paying his way out. Avol, but, says the Tanakhama, Meichrin Oisin Lachem. What the apotropos could do is, as we said before, he's allowed to sell things for the needs of the orphans, so he could sell the slave to other people. Again, if this is to help out the orphans, for example, if let's say they need to eat, or if they need to purchase a field, then Lachem might see an Oisin Lachem. Then others, in other words, what do I mean others? Those others that we conceptualized the case before, that they want to give money to the slaves that they could redeem themselves. So the Tanakhama says, you can't do that, but what you could do is, you buy from the caretaker the slave, and then you'll go ahead and free the slave yourself. That could work. But for the caretaker himself to free him, even if they're paying, he can't free them because he doesn't own them to free them. Now, Rabbi Yom, he says, no. Imrani, I say, just like, and he doesn't differentiate, he says, just like the apotropos is allowed to sell the slaves to other people, so too, they're allowed to accept the money from the slave himself in a venue of a sale. He says, what do you mean? He could also give his own value and leave. Because the apotropos is he's like selling the slave to himself. So therefore, Rebbe argues and he says, why can't he free him? He's like selling himself to himself, which a sale you said he could do, and therefore he could sell himself to him. Now the Brisa continues and says, "V'tzarach l'chashav imon ba'achrona." Like we mentioned in the Mishnah, then the Tanakhama here says that when they get older, he's going to have to calculate with them. And moreover, in other words, that includes taking an oath that he didn't hold on to any of the money himself. But Reb Shimon Gamliel, he says, "Ein tzarach." Says no, he doesn't have to calculate with them when they become adults. He does his job, and then they can leave when they become adults. Now the Brisa continues and says, "Ein oisin apetropin." We're not allowed to make, we do not make the apotropos, the caretaker, neither nashim, not women, because it's not the normative for them to come and to go and to be busy with commerce, and therefore they're not going to be the ideal apotropos. Neither avodim, neither slaves, because they're not trustworthy. And neither the Ketanim, not minors, because they're not B'nai Das, they're not intellectual, intelligent enough to put them in charge of the Yisayimim. Now, but the Eminin of Yisayimim, says the Braisa, if the father of the orphans, he appointed these people, either the Noshim, Avodim, or Ketanim, to be the caretakers, and Hershas B'Yodah, that's his rights, it's his money, he could do whatever he wants. Now, the Gemara continues with the following incident related to these halachas of apotropos. There was a certain caretaker of an orphan's estate that was in the neighborhood of a mayor. That he was selling the lands of the orphans to purchase slaves. And his neighbor, Remeir, didn't let him. Now, that's because, as we mentioned before, the halacha, that you can't sell fields to buy slaves. Now, they showed Remeir in his dreams, Ani laharos va'ata livnas, I want to destroy, and you want to build, meaning as if Hashem is wanting to create a loss for these orphans, because that's what it is, that's why we don't let you sell fields to purchase of them. And you're building, you're preventing this guy from destroying their estate. Now the Gemara tells us, in spite of the fact that he had this revelation in his dream, he didn't pay any heed to it, and he still stopped this guy from selling the fields to buy the slaves. Because Amar Meir says, we do not elevate or downgrade based on the words of dreams. It doesn't have any significance, and therefore I don't care what the dreams are telling me. The halacha says you cannot sell the fields to buy the slaves. Similarly, another incident with Remeir, that Hanu Beit Trei de Igribu Satan. There were these two individuals that the Satan would create a contention between the two of them, which is the Chol Beis Shimshi, that every Erev Shabbos by twilight, right before it's going to be Shabbos, these two individuals were fighting one with the other. Ikkala Remeir Lahasim, Remeir went over there. And Akvinu Tlasa Beis Shimshi, for three Erev Shabbases, he went and he stopped him from fighting. Ada Avadu Ushlama, until he made peace amongst them. Now Shammai, he heard the Satan, the comment that was saying, Vai Da'afkir Remeir Lahu Gavim Rebeisi. Woe that Remeir chased this guy out of his house. In other words, the Satan, as the Chazal tells other places, first he's like a wayfarer, then he's like a guest, and then he becomes like the Balabais. He's the owner, he's in control. So the Satan is that angel that causes people to sin. He was causing these people to sin there of Shabbos by fighting, and now Remeir is chasing him out because he made peace amongst them by not having them fight three Friday evenings before it became Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with another incident, again related to what we were mentioning before. There was a certain caretaker that was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shub ben Levi. He was selling land and purchasing oxen. Now, Rabbi Shub ben Levi didn't tell him anything. Why not? Seemingly, that's the same concept as selling a field and buying a slave, which we mentioned in the previous story with Rabbi Meir, that one's not allowed to do that. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Shub ben Levi held like Rabbi Yesi, the time like learned Abraisa. Rabbi Yesi says, "Miyamai lo karisi li ishti ishti ulu shari shari." Yesi says something interesting. He says, "I never called my wife wife. I never called my ox ox. Ella le ishti beisi. I would call my wife my house, as called bnei bayis, where the reason for that is because all the needs of the house are done through the wife, and she's the primacy of the house. So he would call her my house. Ulu shari sadi, and he wouldn't call his ox my ox. He would call him my field." Because again, the primacy of the field is the oxen. Again, that's why, although you're not allowed to sell off the field for, let's say, movable items, but the ox is integral for the field, therefore you could sell fields to purchase oxen. Another story, Hanu Yasmi Davismichi Gabi Hahisavsa. There were certain orphans that were reliant on a certain elderly woman. Havalahu Tursa. Now the orphans had oxen. Shakli Bizavinti Nahalayu. So this elderly woman went and sold it for the orphans so that they could have money to purchase what they needed. Now, these relatives, who weren't even taking care of these orphans, but when trouble comes, then they start complaining, they came in front of Rav Nachman, and Amalei, they said to him, who does she think is this elderly woman is that she's selling their stuff? Who made her an apotropos? Who gave her the right to sell this? So Amalehu, he said to them, it's halacha that we learned in our Mishnah that said that the orphans that are reliant on a certain homeowner, even if that person wasn't appointed, as we said in the Mishnah, that person takes off meiser. In other words, that person is considered like the apotropos, and therefore she has the rights to sell their ox to help them have the needs that they need. Now, but these people continue complaining. They said, Look what she did. She sold the ox when it was $50, and now it's $100. It went up in price, and she's causing a loss for them. So that he answered, okay, b'shusa de lekechi ak, it went up in the property of the purchaser, of the consumer. What do you want? That's it shouldn't do anything wrong. But then they said, but behold, nikiti dummy. But the this elderly woman didn't yet take money for the purchase, for the sale of this ox. So amalahu, so he said to them, oh, the imkain, if that's the case, so hainu de Rav Chaniloi bar idi amr Shmuel. So said Rav Nachman, this is then the halacha of what Rav Chaniloi bar idi says, name of Shmuel. The amr Rav Chaniloi bar idi amr Shmuel, he says, nichsi yisayim harein kehektish. We consider the properties of orphans like the property of hektish, which is, you could only acquire the property of hektish through money. As the pasuk says in Yikach of Zayin, "V'nasan ha'kes abakam loy." The one who wants to redeem property from hektish, he gives money, and then it becomes his. Which means to say that you cannot just do meshicha to draw it to you; you have to give the money. So therefore, says Rav Nachman, "Oh, if this person, if the consumer didn't yet pay the elderly woman for the properties of the orphans, and the price went up, the orphans could retract. Then it's not going to be a valid sale. In other words, they could retract from it because just like by hektish, until money is actually given, even though meshicha is done, that's not considered a sale. That was the ma'al yusa, that was the added level of quality they gave to the properties of the orphans as a way of protective measure for them, and therefore, that you're right, in that situation, they could retract because of the inflated price. Now the Gemara continues with another incident. Chamrei de Rabbana Ukva Yasma. There was the wine of Rabbana Ukva, the orphan, that Meshchua, that they were purchases that already did Meshicha, they already drew the wines from the apotropos that was taking care of the estate of this Rabbana Ukva, who was an orphan, Ba'arba Arba, with paying 4 zuz per barrel. Now, Vayakr v'kam b'shita shita. Now, the price actually ended up going up, and it was standing at 6 zuz a barrel. So, Aslo kamei de Rav Nachman, they came in for the Rav Nachman to say, what's the halacha? So, Amalahu, he said to them, as we mentioned before, Hainu de Rav Chaniloi bar idi. De Am Rav Chaniloi bar idi Amr Shmuel. He says, Nechsei samarin kehektish. The properties of the orphans are like hektish. B'loi mikne el b'kasma. And therefore, although these purchases already did meshicha for 4 zuz a barrel, now that the price went up, since they didn't give the money yet, the orphan, this Rabbana Ukva, his apotropos could demand 6 zuz a barrel, or else give it back because you have not yet acquired it because you didn't yet give money. Now, regarding this halacha that we mentioned, which although generally regarding individuals, meshicha is what finalizes the kinyan, and no one could retract. Whereas by hektish, there's an added level of that you have to give money, and that's how we said that the nichsi yisayim are the same thing. So the Gemara points out different variations of halacha that's going to be between the yisayimim and the lakuches being either the seller or the purchaser regarding if it was done with either kesef or meshicha regarding either party retracting. As the Gemara explains many of these different types of cases. Mashach peri miyasmir. If an individual, a consumer, draws, he already takes the peris from the orphans that he wants to buy from them, and then ayakad and the price goes up, says the Gemara, as we just mentioned this before, this is the halacha of Chaniloi bar idi, where although you already did meshicha, but since you didn't pay with money yet and the price went up, the yasim could retract, and if you want to hold on to it, you have to pay the higher price. Now, Zol, if the price actually goes down and he didn't pay yet money, says the Gemara, the ability that's by a regular commoners that are purchasing one from the other can't be more stringent than the halacha that applies to hektish. In other words, every single regular commoner, he could retract as long as there's no meshicha, as long as the purchaser didn't draw it yet. But if meshicha was done, then you can't retract. So therefore, says the Gemara, for sure in these types of the estate of the orphans, which, yes, although it's like hektish, which it's not considered final until money's done, but that, as Rashi explains, was only made as a yipu kayach. It was only to give them the added benefit to be like hektish, but not to have the worse situation, which is like hektish. In other words, so therefore, that when the purchaser drew it and then the price dropped suddenly from 4 to 1, and he's like, I don't want this anymore, I didn't give him money, and here I'm giving it back to you. No, you can't retract. Because although, yes, regarding hektish, it's not done till money was given, but we're still people. It's still orphans and not apotropos of them, and since you did meshicha, it's too late, and you can't retract, because we don't want this yisayimim to be worse than hedyot, and it can't be more chamer than hektish. Now, the Gemara continues, amshichu, if the sellers created a meshicha, lehu for them, peri liyasmi, for the orphans to have the fruits. In other words, if the orphans did mashicha, they purchased fruits from others and they didn't pay money yet, and then ayakir, and then the price goes up, now the seller wants to retract because you didn't give money yet. And we know that the kinya of Yisayimim is with money. Says the Gemara, no, lo yehei koyeched yichamim hektish. We can't have that by regular people, that there should be more stringent than the halacha that applies by hektish, and therefore, since if it would be with a hedyit and he would do meshicha, then the seller can't retract. Say also, the seller can't retract, and since the Yisayim already did meshicha, even though he didn't give money yet, and even though the price went up, he can't retract, and they still have to pay only by that regular price from when they did meshicha. Now, Zal, if the price goes down, so the Gemara tells us that Savamina, the rabbis, the students thought, the Hainid Rav Chani Loi Bar'idi, that seemingly this would be the same thing as the Halacha Rav Chani Loi Bar'idi, and that is the orphans could retract, because since they have the Halacha, at least for Yipukayach, for a more stronger position in this exchange, to be like the Halacha of Hekdesh, and since they didn't give money yet, so we're not going to be willing to pay the higher price now that the price went down, so we're going to back out of this sale. We don't want to pay that inflated price. On that, Omli Rav Shisha Bar'idi Avidi, so he said no. Harahi Lididhu, that's going to make things worse for them, if you allow them to back out because they didn't give money yet, if the price drops, because the zimnin, the mitzarech lepeiri, what's going to happen is you have to look at the long big picture. What's going to happen is sometimes they're going to need food. For leka the yavlu and the yavzuzi, no one's going to give them food anymore until they pay, because people are going to say, why should we extend to them on credit if the price is going to go down? Then suddenly they're going to retract and we're going to lose. We could have sold it at a better price. At least if we know, we lock in, we get what we need. So therefore, Rav Shisha actually says that no, they cannot retract. It's not the same halacha of Chanelor Ba'idi, because it's going to cause bad for them, because no one's going to want to extend credit to them, because until they pay, that they could retract. So the Gemara continues and says, Yavi Yasmi Zuzia Peri. In the case of where the orphans give money for Peris, and Zul, and so they gave money here. Not in like the previous case where they did Meshicha, but no money. Here they gave money without Meshicha. Says the Gemara, Zol, if the price goes down, well, lo yehei koyeched yitchamim in ahekdish, so then we don't want to have that a regular person would be stronger positioning than what hektish is. So although, yes, they gave money, and regarding hektish, it's considered final, but since the price dropped, and they didn't yet do meshicha, and a common purchaser would be able to back out, they could also back out. Now, ayakir, if the price goes up, and because of that, the seller wants to back out, so again, the students thought that this is the same halacha of Chani Loi Ba'idi, where no, the seller can't back out, because since the Yisrael already gave money, although they didn't do Meshicha, but regarding Hekdesh, money is the finalizer. So now that the price goes up, it's their gain. And that, again, Amalu Rav Shisha Rav Davidi says no. Harohi Lidatu. It's going to cause bad for the orphans if you allow them to prevent him from backing out when the price goes up. Because as we continue our Talmud Beis, the seller is going to tell them, oh yeah? I mean to say, oh, because you paid me, and although you didn't do Meshicha, it's considered yours, and I can't retract? Then if that's the case, he's going to end up making up this story and say, well, your wheat got burnt in my attic because you already paid for it, you already purchased it, it's your money, and I'm not giving you back the money. You're considering yourself like Hekdesh, it's final. Now Rashi wonders and says, what do you mean? You would think maybe he can't say that, because as we said before, regarding creating deficiencies, we don't say that a commoner should be more stringent than Hekdesh, and by a commoner, he can't say Nisrifu Chit Chamaliyah. So that Rashi says, no, that's not a question. Because since regarding retraction, we're saying that it's not in the domain of the seller, meaning he can't retract, you're saying that it's considered like the Yisayim already purchased it. So regarding the fire, it's the same thing. It's not in his domain. It's not his loss. It's the purchaser, the orphan's loss. But regarding a commoner, the reason why we consider in the domain of the seller regarding the fire that he's going to want to make sure it doesn't get burned, the reason is because for that benefit that he has, that if he wants to, he could retract, because although money was given, it's not considered the purchaser's until he draws it to himself. So therefore, they depend one on the other. So therefore, if you're saying that regarding retraction, it's not b'shester meicher, then he could tell him also that your wheat got burnt in the attic, and therefore it's not worth it to not allow him to retract, because then the orphans are going to have this claim that he's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, your stuff went up in smoke, and I'm not giving you your money back. Then the Gemara continues and says, Yavi luhu zuzi liyasmi aperi. If purchasers gave money to the orphans for Paris. So again, this is talking about money. First case, we're talking about either one with Meshicha. Now we're talking about with money. So the Loikchim give the orphans money for their Paris, and Ayakar, and the price goes up. So again, says the Gemara, Lo Yei Koyech Hadyet, Chamer Mehekdesh. We can't have a commoner to have a stronger stance than by Hekdesh, and therefore, although money was given, and yes, we said that the Nichsi Yisayim are like the Nichsi of Hekdesh regarding money finalizing. So if it's finalizing, so even though it goes up, the orphans should not be able to retract. But again, since regarding Hedyet, that since no Mashiach was done, the seller would be able to retract, so therefore the Yisayim could also retract, and they could get that gain of the higher price that it went to. Now, Zol, if the price goes down, Sav Mina, again, the students thought, Hayin Drav Chani Loi Ba'idi, that since money was already finalized, therefore, although the price goes down, the purchaser can't retract. But again, Amalu Rav Shisha Bar David, he says, no, harohu ledudu. Again, you have to think big. This is going to be bad for the orphans. The zimna de mitzarech lezuzika, what's going to happen is, sometimes the orphans have a lot of produce, they want to sell it off, they need money. But v'leka diavlu, no one's going to pay them money, adiavlu peri, until they get the produce. But the produce is en route, it's on the truck, it's in the fields. No one's going to want to extend their money because they're going to say, wait a second, we don't get the opportunity of backing out, which is by regular people, even though they give money, until we do Mashiach, we can back out. But you're considering yourself like Hekdesh and we can't back out, so we're not going to give you the money until we get the stuff, until we get the goods. So therefore, says Rav Shisha, no. Let the Lakeach back out so that when the orphans need money, they'll be able to get, and someone will extend them the money, even though they didn't get the Paris yet, because they have the opportunity of backing out. So again, that was the halachas that we said, of all these different cases regarding if the Yisraelim are the sellers or the other people are the sellers, and if it's being done with money or if it's being done with Meshicha, and regarding who wants to retract if regards the increase of the price or the decrease in the price. Now the Gemara continues with another incident relating to these halachas of the Nichsi Yisraelim. Amar Rav Ashi says, Anov Rav Kahana, Chasminan Ashtara De'ima De Ze'ira Yasma. We signed on a document of the mother of the Ze'ira who is an orphan, the Mizavna Ara, that she was selling off their land, Lechraga, for the head tax, without making an announcement. That's because generally by the estate of the orphans, we want to make sure it gets top dollar. So the 30 days before, there's announcements that go out that the land of that person is going out to be sold in the courts. Now, in this situation, we signed and it was allowed for her to sell it immediately. The reason being is because the tax collectors are demanding the money right away. Because the Amri Nardoi, like the Nardoi said, Lechraga, for the head tax, Ulamazaini, for sustenance, Ulakvura, and for burial, Mezavnin and Bulech Razasi, let us sell it even without making these announcements beforehand because there's no time. Someone dies, you gotta bury him, food you gotta eat, and the head tax, they demand the money right away, and therefore that's what he's saying. Although generally the apotropos, the caretaker, has to make these announcements, for these situations, you let us sell it without making an announcement. Now, Gemara continues with another story related to these halachas of apotropos. Amram Tzava, Amram the Tzava, the dyer, apotropa the Yasmahava. He was an apotropos of orphans. Now, Asa Kareivim Lekamid Rav Nachman. Now, the relatives of these orphans came in front of Rav Nachman. Amrile, they said to him, Kolavish Umachse Meyasmi. Look at this guy. He's clothing himself and getting dressed with the money of the orphans. So Amal Hus, Rav Nachman said to them, that's okay, he's allowed to. Kihecha Dilishtamoin Mili, that his word should be heard. In other words, it's a necessity for the orphans that their representative should look respectable and get the full maximum of whatever he could for them, and that's only if he dresses appropriately, and therefore he's taking their money. But they still complained to Rav Nachman. They said, Ka'achal b'shasi miditu. He's eating and drinking from their money. V'loy omed, because he's not wealthy. In other words, we see him spending extravagant, exorbitant amount of money, and he's not wealthy. He doesn't have his own stuff. Must be he's taking it from the orphans. So that Rav Nachman said, no, Eimer Mitziyashkach, maybe he found a lost object. How do you know? Maybe he had a find and that's how he has money. But they still complained to Rav Nachman. They said, Bokumasid, but he's ruining the properties of the orphans, where he's not taking care of the land. He's just cutting down trees. So Amal Huz, Rav Nachman said to them, Aisili Sahadi de Mafsid Besalkine. He says, bring me witnesses that could prove that he's ruining their fields, and then I'll get rid of him. Because the Amr Rav Huna Chavrin Meshmeder Rav, because our colleague Rav Huna said it in the name of Rav, that apotropos de mafsid, you're right, an apotropos that's causing a loss, misakinale, we get rid of him. Because the idmar, that it was learned that it actually was a machloikis. Apotropos de mafsid, regarding an apotropos that's causing a loss, Rav Huna Marav, as we said before, says misakinale, we get rid of him. The Bei Reb Shila Amri, but from the yeshiva Reb Shila, they said that loy misakinale, we don't get rid of him. But the hilchas of misakinale, the halacha is that we get rid of him, so they said, Rav Nachman, look, bring me witnesses that he's ruining the fields, and then I'll get rid of him. Then the Gemara quotes from our mission that said, "Apotropos sheminu av yisaimim." The Tanakhama held that an apotropos that was appointed by the father of the orphans before he passed away, yishava. Such a type of apotropos has to swear when they become adults that he didn't hold on to any of their money. So the Gemara says, "My time. What's the reason?" So the Gemara says, "Because ilav de isleha nomine. If not for that fact that this person that was appointed apotropos by the late father, if he didn't get some benefit from their father." He wouldn't agree to it. Who wants to take on the job of being an apotropos, a caretaker of a whole estate that's not even his own money? Therefore, umishum shvua, if you're going to require from him to take a shvua at the end of that job, when those orphans become adults, he's not going to stop from taking on this job from the beginning, because as we said, the only reason why he's agreeing to this is because he had benefit from the father. So even though you're going to make him make a shvua, he's still going to do it because I had so much benefit from this guy. I'm indebted to him. I'll do it even though I have to make a shvua at the end. Now, then the Mishnah said, but minu bezdin, if the courts appointed him apotropos, lo yishava. Then he doesn't have to make an oath. So the Gemara explains the reason. Because milsa ba'amahu de'av lebeidina. When it comes to regarding the courts, he's just doing a kindness, a favor that he's doing for the courts at looking who's going to take care of these orphans. So the guy says, you know what? Fine, I'll do it. And I'll go through the effort of taking care of these orphans. Now, v'i ramas ala shavua, but if you're going to make him have to take an oath when he's done, so aslam nu, he's going to say, what do I have to go through this? After all that, I'm going to have to take an oath, and a shavua is a big deal. So he's not going to take upon the job. Therefore, we don't require a shavua, because who are we going to get to do it if we're going to require a mandate, a shavua, at least by the father? There, he's doing it because he had benefit. He won't refrain from taking this job, even with a shavua. Now, but then the Mishnah said, Abishola mechilif advarim. He says it's the exact opposite. And that is, from the courts he has to take a shvua, from the father he doesn't. So the Gemara says, my taima minu bezn yisha. But what's the reason why if the courts appoint him the apotropos, then he has to take a shvua when he's done? So the Gemara explains here the opposite type of a svara. Bahiha no du konofig ala kola, the inish mehemnehu. That benefit that this guy gets, that the word gets out, that he must be a trustworthy person. Why? The courts relied on him, they chose him. Oh, must be this guy's a trustworthy guy. So mishum shvua lo aslam nuye. From the fact that he has to take an oath at the end, it won't stop because it's such a benefit where everyone's going to want to take this guy's services because he's trustworthy, because the courts trust him. So even though you have him have to take a shvua, that won't stop him from doing it. So therefore we make a shvua because we want to make sure that the orphans are not losing any of their money. But minu av yisayim says abishah lo yishava. But if the father of the orphans appointed him, then he doesn't have to take a shvua. Because he holds, milsa ba'amahu da'avdi la'adodi. And that is, these guys were friends. And he didn't really get such major benefit from him. He's just, you know, this guy was a friend of mine. He passed away, so I'll take care of his children. V'iramas ala shvua aslam nui. But if you're going to make him take a shvua, he's going to say, that far I'm not going. To make a shvua, I don't want to engage in such a proposition. And therefore, by avi yisaimim, then he doesn't have to take a shvua. The Gemara concludes, Amr Avchanan bar Ami, Amr Shmuel, Hilchasa Kabashol, the Alochasa Kabashol, that the Yeshava is only in the courts, but the Lo Yeshava is by the Avi Yisayim. Now, Tanya Lidna Bryce said, Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, he says, Zev is a Yeshava. He holds that, no, either Apotropos has to take a Shavua, and the Halacha Kedvarv, and the Gemara says, Halacha is like his words, by both Apotropos, and obviously they wouldn't refrain from taking the job, because both of them, as we said, have certain Hanos and pleasures, and therefore they have to make a Shavua. Now, Tanya Rav Tachlifa b'Amarava Kamed Rav Avoh. Rav Tachlifa, who is from the West, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, he taught the following brayos in front of Rav Avoh. Said, "Apotropos sheminu avi yisayim yishava, an apotropos that was appointed by the father has to make a shvua, which was like the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Memneishu noisi sachar, because he's getting paid for his job." Now, Amar later, Rav Avoh said to Rav Tachlifa, who was saying over this brayos, "At isis kava v'choyles lei." Which is like a say it's, I mean, you're bringing this kav that and you're measuring. I mean to say who said, where do you see the money that's being paid to this guy, to the apotropos? Who said every apotropos that was appointed by the late father is getting paid by that estate? Meaning to say, how are you saying that's the reason why I have to take a shvua? Ella ima, rather say not memneishu noisei sachar, ella memneishu ki noisei sachar, because he's like a paid watchman. I mean to say, he's really an unpaid watchman. He's taking care of the estate for free. But, as we explained before, the logic of the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, why does he hold that Yeshava is by the Avi Yisayim, is because there is like there's benefit. I mean to say, because he wouldn't have taken on such a proposition, if not for the fact that he had a lot of benefit. This guy helped him out a lot when he was alive, so he's like a Nois Yisachar. That's why he has to take a Shavua. Again, as we said, that because of that requirement of the Shavua, he's not going to back out because he has all that Hanah, and he's grateful for that. He'll take the job even with the requirement of a Shavua.